Welcome to the Babe Lab podcast. We're the official podcast of the Babe Lab blog at www.babelab as in San Francisco, blab as in blabbing.blogspot.com.
I'm Rob Edge.
I'm Anthony Power.
And you post under Bayman. And
yeah, that's right.
I'm the official anonymous coward.
You just revealed my true identity on the first episode. There's no more mystery anymore. You can't do that until, like, the 10th season or something.
And what are we drinking today, boys? I'm drinking Wellington's County Dark Ale from Guelph, Ontario. It's a dark beer. Pretty good here.
Yeah, then we got the Niagara Pale Ale.
Which is damn good.
It's pretty good. It's from the Niagara Brewing Company.
I think it was a compromise.
Yeah, I haven't seen any DMSO on this one.
Okay, right. Should we just fire off on the post now?
Yeah, so first post is Tony.
Alright, well, let's talk about Nobel rejections first.
Let's do it.
There's been a lot of talk about these Nobel Prizes lately. So yeah, basically I was just doing a little Googling, looking for, like, you know, the opposites of people that win Nobel Prizes. Like,
so is there somewhere aim for that, the IG Nobles?
I wanted to find something I could aim for. So, I didn't actually find what I was looking for. What was I looking for? I was looking for, like, people that got I was trying to find people that got overlooked for the Nobel Prize, but, or actually discoveries, because lots of people have been overlooked, but really, like, not any discoveries have been overlooked. I don't know, unless you guys could think of any, like.
So you actually said in a comment in the previous post, the suggestion has always been around that the Nobles go to the most well-connected. Maybe a good way to think about this would be to compile a list of who discovered something and never won a Nobel and compare it to those who did.
Yeah.
So that's what I guess your original search was.
Yeah, that was the idea. I found that on Dig, because some guy was saying, like, there was some comments on, I don't know if you guys saw this, like, you know, what's with this, like, RNAi winning, like, the guys who came up with, like, how to do gene knockouts in mice, like, never won the Nobel Prize.
So they were actually one of the runner-ups for this,
gene knockouts in mice?
So, yeah, homologous recombination. They were the guys that were runner-ups. And then the siRNA dude wins. Like,
okay.
The guy's only 45 years old. Like, you win a Nobel when you're old and
established. Yeah, no kidding.
Well, the thing is, like, most of the people that got shafted just got shafted because they died too early.
Yeah, that happens all the time.
So this guy, you know, these guys, they should give it to the oldest guys because, like, you know, they might die soon.
No wonder, because I actually read one of the headlines where it was, like, RNAi scoops Nobel. And I was like, how's that a scoop? Like, I don't understand. That's totally what it must be.
Yeah, that's weird. I mean, some people argue that, you know, they're arguing RNAi is, like, much more powerful. It could be used therapeutically and all this kind of stuff. But still,
like how long have we been using?
They're both pretty big.
Yeah.
Every transgenic mouse
as a tool, like, and they, you know, the truth is they should probably both win. But
yeah,
you think you would give it to the older one first or something? Like, there's lots of more time.
Haven't they been doing like homologous recombination like as a way to clone in like yeast forever though? Is that like the same guys? No, there's this mouse homologous.
I guess they just did it in mouse or something.
Yeah.
The first ones that demonstrated they could do it in mice or something.
Huh.
Unless they came up with the Cree system or something.
Yeah,
that's the other thing in mouse is I don't know how many, you know, how localized the discovery it is or whether it was, you know, a whole bunch of tools. Or, I mean, lots of those things have it. But it was a whole bunch of little things that a lot of people did. It's hard to recognize, like, one specific person. I don't know.
I thought the siRNA would win, like, the minute there was a therapeutic use.
Yeah.
Like, lots of people, like, discover things, like, but, like, usually when you start using it in the clinic is when you get the street cred. Like, it's like the ulcer guy from last year that won the Nobel, right? He's the guy who discovered, like, bacteria causes ulcer.
Yeah.
Like, this is, like, directly applicable, like, as opposed to, like, an siRNA, which is just a tool at the moment.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's the thing, though. Like, you know, there's a lot of talk about that and, like, you know, lots of the popular news articles are all like, you know, this is something that could, like, cure cancer and stuff like that. And, like, but that, you know, it's a long way from RNAi. Like, you might never do that stuff, you know? Like, it's a bit premature if that's the basis that it's being awarded on. Like, you know, it's pretty soon. Like, there's lots of time to wait and see what happens.
It's a, like, serious mechanism that could be very important, and it's been overlooked for a long time. Like, you know, like, it's something that potentially plays a large role in lots of things, and it's been, like, it did take some smarts to, like, you know, think about it. Because you have to think outside the box to, like, actually figure that out.
And like until I actually clued in,
it takes a risk to like go, okay, I'm gonna clone those. Fine. And like, you know,
it's like actually like in the beginning, like the people thought tRNAs were like what was going on in the cell because they're so abundant. It took a long time before people discovered mRNA because there's so few of them. Like when you do an extraction of RNA, all you get is tRNA.
Yeah, that's true.
And ribosomal, yeah. Those two bands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, yeah. I can't remember what I was gonna say.
Yeah, I was just gonna note like some of the examples you gave that were pretty fucking good though. Like the citric acid cycle guy.
Yeah.
My Nature.
Yeah.
Enzymologia, published in Enzymologia.
Yeah. Well, even with the RNAi, I mean, like, if you wrote had written a grant proposal saying, like,
what we're
going to do is take double-stranded RNAs and inject them, like, into worms and see what happens, like, everyone would have said, like, you're stupid and, like, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, you got to be a bit crazy, I guess. But, like.
Kerry Mullis, who, like, I believe took his half of the Nobel and ran. Like, I think he seriously took the money and was like, thanks, I'm going to party. I think so.
I think that must be the guy that... Is he the... Yeah, he's the
he's
one
the
who
guy
discovered
who,
PCR.
Yeah.
And isn't the story the guy lived in California and he was, like, driving down the... Like,
the highway.
Driving down the highway, coming back and forth until, like, it hit him. Like, I could do the same thing on DNA and just amplify it.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I need to live in California. So, yeah, you got rejected by Nature. And science.
And science.
For PCR, man, like, wow.
Methods and enzymology.
Apparently, probably because people like him, it's like, apparently that's one of the factors the Nobel Committee takes into account when they decide, like, is it time for this thing to be get the award? They're like, are they still researching? Are they not in research? Like, are they going to actually use this money to, like, you know, make some research institute? Or are they just going to, like,
I'm
go spend it on drugs or something?
Given into, like, some sort of fund where they have to use it. That they can just take the money. But whatever, like...
I've heard some, like, great stories of, like... I don't know who it was again. It was one physicist that won the Nobel. And he used the money to rebuild the church that he had seen destroyed. And it's like, he was from Germany, like, during World War II. Like, I don't know. Once you get the money, you do whatever you want with it.
Yeah. It's kind of cool.
I think that's what's cool with Nobels. Like, if you...
Yeah.
If you start putting on restrictions...
It becomes, like, almost
like,
a grant.
Yeah.
A high-profile grant.
Man, there's easier ways to get a million.
Well,
yeah, and the other like example you give at the end there is pretty extreme.
Yeah.
Just because it's like antibodies, which are fucking obviously very huge in the tool, but like wasn't published anything at this.
Yeah, it didn't get published at all. Like he just wrote it up like in his journal or something. You know, like,
that's unbelievable.
I guess it got it published, but like it was not peer reviewed. That's for sure.
Wow.
People would just laugh at you like now if you did that. You know, of course they probably still.
So yeah, I guess like I'll just follow that up because like my like the following post is pretty like similar, I would say, because it also has to do with the Nobel Prize. Except that I guess that I was like more interested in like I was just reading the news to do with RNAi, and I don't know, I'm just sort of always interested in like the different news sources and like lots of stuff. I like to get information news if you're talking about science news because it's always the best, basically.
Nature
also
news.
Read lots of,
Nature.com/news. That's probably wrong.
It's my competitors, man.
So, yeah, and then I like always read Slashdot, because Slashdot for IT news is awesome. And it just blew me away how bad the user comments were on like the Nobel Prize winning. It was all like jokey joke. Like because it had something to do with biology, everybody was talking about evolution and people who don't believe evolution.
Oh man, that
like,
always happens.
I know, I hate that on Slashdot.
Intelligent design.
I swear, like, on both sides, there's people who just work full time as commenters.
I know.
And they just hit the web and they just, like, whatever, like, is related to science, you know, like, just like,
fashion.
No matter what it is, they
yeah.
just put something on, like, their intelligent design or their anti intelligent design thing. That's
the anti intelligent design people drive me insane.
Although, I actually checked out the Slashdot. Like comments,
yeah.
And like one of the first ones was that like, oh, I read the title and I thought it was about the RIAA.
Yeah,
it's siRNA. It's like they have to like bring back everything to Linux and RIAA. Like,
okay, I used to love Slashdot, but like was almost that. I think was the end of me for Slashdot. Like when the users are that bad, like I'm obviously reading the wrong site, and that's why like I read the comments on Dig, and like Dig had reasonable user comments from people who actually knew what they were talking about, and I was like, wow, Dig is so much.
Yeah, I just read through the Nobel ones, and they were pretty, like, they're pretty on, like, most of the comments. And
I know, a surprise. Like, yeah. Dig is, like, I don't know, super popular and all that stuff, and I didn't really think that the user comments would be that much more better, but I just, you get a more focused group on, like, Dig, because you just, you zero on the stories you're actually interested in on, and therefore you're going to comment on them, and so you actually get people commenting on stories that actually know something about, which is awesome.
That's
anyways.
Cool.
Yeah, well, the real news source is Babla, right?
Yeah.
BAYBLAB.blogspot.com.
I did say that at the end of my post. Of course, /dig pale in comparison to Babla's authority.
Right, clearly.
No, I find Dig sometimes is too much junk. Like,
there's a lot of junk in,
like top 10 things to do while in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Like, it's too much shit.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit on Dig for sure.
Babla. The next post is mine. Home Science Crafts Project.
Some great
this
posts.
Is disgusting.
Yeah.
You probably don't want to click on these links.
I regretted it.
So I was like looking at stuff on Google because like I was looking at Make magazine. You know, do your own stuff at home, like build your own like instruments or whatever. Like, let's see what they've done, like what's been posted recently. And one was like make your own like stuffed mouse. And it actually involves a real mouse that you like skin and stick like cotton in. It is disgusting. And this is a picture of the little girl playing with them. Like, gross.
Oh.
Sick, man. And the other is like an old link that I already showed you guys, but I haven't posted it yet. It's a, you know, hemorrhoidal surgery on a turtle. Just like shows you what to do in case your turtle has.
Are hemorrhoids really common in turtles? Like it must be or something, because that guy has a lot of photographs. Is it all from the same?
I think it's all from the same one that he like did surgery on. I think the guy is actually like for his defense.
Isn't it turtles that like do everything through their ass or something?
yeah, that would be a serious problem.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Maybe just lots of pets get hemorrhoids. It's just that it's not life threatening, right? Like
yeah, so
they just like they're in a really bad mood all the time, but they can still breathe. They're like in a turtle, like they start like.
The first time I came across that site, I was doing some searching for an image from an old post that I put on the use of the cloaca in turtle. So basically, the cloaca, like everything goes through there, piss, shit, and, you know, reproduction, and in some turtles also breathing. And I had to like check out the sources for that. It's actually through some turtles breathe through their ass. And I was looking for a picture of like how it actually happens. And I came on that site, and it was too disgusting. And yeah, I just had to post it at some point, you know.
Oh man, I haven't actually checked out the mics, text, and everyone. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's gross.
Wow.
But how can they have sex and breathe at the same time?
That's right, it's just like, take it all in.
It must be really fast.
Yeah.
But their ass, don't they? I don't know what you're doing wrong, but
what?
They breathe through their ass.
Yeah, but he said they have sex through their ass.
Well,
too.
Cloaca, man, it does everything.
Oh, yeah, that's right, okay.
Yeah, well, actually, like, in for that particular turtle, like, it's something like 60% of the oxygen is through regular breathing, the rest is through the ass. Like, it's got some alternative methods.
Oh, okay.
So it can still have sex and breathe at the same time.
This most taxidermy thing is fucked up. Look at this little kid dresses them up and stuff.
I know, it's fucking sick.
So, okay, so actually, one of my comments, I think it was on the same post, was it? About, like, yeah, is it legal to, like...
Yeah.
What do you think? Like, do you think it's legal? I think I know I've talked about this before, but, like...
Do surgery on your own pets.
Can you do surgery on your own pets?
Well,
you guys say no.
I sort of, like, looked it up really quickly.
Oh,
I couldn't find any, like, concrete example of what you can do and what you can't do to your pet. Apparently, like, you can't, like, do unjust cruelty, like, not feed them or house them in a too small cage. Things like that, but it didn't say anything about performing surgery on them. So, I mean, if it was, like, unduly cruel or cruel on purpose, it probably wouldn't fly, but, you know, I sort of wonder.
Well, like, because I just said, like I said, like, you don't have, like, think of the things you do to mice. I mean, I'm not, like, saying that you're trying to be especially cruel. Or
I'm glad
like,
I'm anonymous coward.
But I think all that stuff is out because it's, like, it's done under some institutional, that's all regulated by, like,
but it's
science,
not like he has a special license to do it himself. Like he doesn't.
No, but his facility is licensed to do it.
Yeah.
So
whatever.
You think it's a facility thing?
Yeah.
And technically, he's supposed to have been trained to do it.
Well,
let's see.
But let's see, like your cat is sick and really
getting
old.
And you can't afford.
Do you go pay like $100 to get it put down, or like do you do it yourself?
I know. I'm not saying I would ever do it.
No,
I'm
just,
yeah. But what about like emergency situations, like something your cat gets hit by a car?
Yeah.
Like, you know, obviously it's better to like put it down yourself than bring it to the vet. But what if you're like in some remote area where there's no vet, and you know that like your pet just needs like to have something cut, and it's gonna like put it out of suffering?
Actually,
it's
not
unethical.
Well, would you do it to a human? That's
yeah.
like where you gotta. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, if it would be unethical to not do anything.
Yeah.
Then you gotta do it.
If you
right?
do it to a human, then it's obviously the thing. Like, the thing is, you would not do. Like, I would not perform surgery on you. That's very
no, but,
illegal.
Like, people are different with pets anyway because they're like, you know, you would never put people down for the things you put pets down for. Like, usually
yeah.
the common answer with anything going wrong with a pet is to put them down. Right?
Yeah.
Whereas in humans, like, we're way crueler to humans.
Yeah,
we
keep them alive.
Yeah,
we
keep them like alive so we can
just suck all the money
way longer than
possible.
We so, like, clearly that's not a good standard.
I've seen this show once about this guy who was traveling to Australia and, like, neutering dogs without any anesthesia. Like, it's just this, like, a dog problem, right, in the outback. It was just, like, come to the dog, like, just hold it between its legs and, like, do something down there and just neuter it right there. And then,
you know how
so
they
would
neuter...
you do that to Bayman? I don't know.
Do you know how they do, they, like, neuter, like, cattle and stuff and horses, I think, sometimes. I think horses actually more so often. But they'll just, like... tie a string really tightly around their
and
nuts.
Just falls
and just
off.
Let them do whatever, and it just cuts off the circulation. And they just eventually fall off.
That's pretty
cheap.
That's pretty cruel. That's
yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's not. I don't know. I haven't had it happen to you. Maybe it's painless.
You have to ask a cow.
Well, next post is mine. Bet on nobles, and we're not gonna talk about nobles again. But I was just. Showing that this website, like Thomson Scientific, which makes predictions every year on who will get the Nobel, based on like how many citations they have. So basically, if you're a good citation whore and everybody like references back to you, you've got a pretty good chance of getting a Nobel. And but they were wrong this time. Like the three things they suggested, which was the guys for homologous recombination that we talked about, the nuclear hormone receptors. And DNA fingerprinting. Like, come on, DNA fingerprinting, that's been used so much.
Yeah.
Like, it's used for everything, for, like, you know, crops, it's used for, like...
Plus, they do it on CSI.
Yeah, they do it in CSI, just for that.
It must be important.
Do they have to reference it in the credits? Like,
the CSI have to reference it, or does the, like, the scientists have to reference CSI? It would probably be more useful.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
DNA
yeah. Oh, yeah, I saw that
CSI. CSI.
That's when, like, they turn down the lights and everything's glowing.
You know what pisses me off is that they do that shit in, like, 30 minutes on that show. It's like, oh, yeah, we're gonna do a PCR and run it, and, like, that gets done in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the funny thing, too, is that they often use the same photos, so, like, the spec... from their NMRs is always the same one. Like, if you watch any show, it's always the same. Like, same thing with the gels.
Are you, like, catching yourself trying to interpret it? You're, like, leaning in, like, no, that's not a...
Wait, just, I can't help it with shows like that. Like, I pick up on the details. And I'm like, oh. That's why I need to, like, watch law shows or, like, police shows.
Where you know nothing. You're just like, yeah, whatever, that sounds awesome.
You can actually watch the show instead of being like, whoa, check out that proton shit.
Spider-Man.
This one's, like, pretty basic and self-explanatory, but... Actually, the only reason I thought it was interesting is I came across this paper in Nature where they're like, you know, yeah, we discovered this tarantula that, like, spins silk out of its feet and, like, uses it to climb stuff. And I'm like, that's not novel. Like, I've seen that on Spider-Man. Like, I always thought, like, I always assumed Spider-Man was based on, like, what real spiders do, so... But apparently it's new, like, coming out of, like, apparently, like, all previous spiders, they come out of your abdomen or whatever, and...
Yeah.
This is the new thing. It comes out of you. Like, it seems like a good way to do it.
So I was actually on the Nature podcast. Like, the guy, they interviewed this guy or whatever. And I can't remember how, like, they eventually, they happened to chance upon it. But they were doing some, like, you know, spider assay or some crap where they put spiders on a... Did you listen to this?
No.
So they put spiders on, like, some sort of glass thing. And they tilt it or whatever, and apparently the behavior of the spiders, when they're on this tilted glass, they just stay still. Because they can't really grab, I guess, or something like that. And I guess this guy had left the lab with the glass tilted up and these spiders staying there, and I went out for like a beer break.
We have to like check out the Babe Lab.
Bro, he's firing the Babe Lab. And he comes back and there's like strands of silk, like from where the spiders used to be to where they are now, because he left them on there way longer than he usually does or something like that, and that's like how he came upon it. So
pretty cool.
I love that kind of research. Like the guy that you posted on, the guy with the ants that he would drop from the tree and watch him glide.
That's
cool.
Yeah,
that was
one of the movies or something. Yeah, that was cool.
That's what you need, more videos.
Yeah, science has to be more video oriented.
Yeah.
If you can't make a movie, it's not important.
The next post is mine, the Alan Brain Atlas. First of all, it's Alan from Microsoft, like with the co-founder of Microsoft. The guy's got too much money. Like, he buys spaceships and shit. And he just put $100 million aside and, like, funded an institute. And he asked the neurologist, like, what tool do you guys need to do research? And they're all about, like, gene expression. So they're like, what we want is, like, a map of where the mouse genome in this case, is expressed in the brain. It's like, okay, here's the money, do it. So you can actually download that program, and I've tried it, it's awesome. You can choose whatever genes you're interested in, and it'll map it on the brain. Like, you can see the areas lighting up, and like, which sections of the brain express it. Like, mind you, that's an adult mouse, like, it's not, you know, through development, but it's wicked. And it
but it's not a computer simulation, it's a summary of a bunch of data.
So what they did is in situ for like whatever how many genes.
Yeah.
And they went through sections like sagittal, radial, they just went all the way through the brain in every way and then just put that in the computer and then
made
just 3D, build
a
model
like,
of it.
So what's the interface like? Is it just like
it's their own little program and it shows
you can
up
grab
and
it and rotate.
Oh yeah, that's
so sweet. I actually didn't take a look at it because I was looking at something else.
It won't run on your laptop, bro.
Really? That's right. I remember looking at it. It's like some sort of...
I tried on my laptop.
It was slow on your screen on the laptop?
It was slow.
Oh, wow. So it needs like a 3D accelerator card and all that good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And like an excuse to get like a good graphics card for your work computer so you can also play games.
Yeah, just ask me about that. It's like get the grant money, you know?
Yeah. So this is way off topic, but I guess I got to mention that Paul Allen... at one point had his yacht, sorry, I don't even know what the proper word for that thing would be, but he had it parked in, right in English Bay in Vancouver. Well, he could only go so far. He had to park out where, like, the super tankers were.
Wow.
Seriously.
Well,
this thing was massive. It had, like, multiple helipads on it. It was,
holy crap.
It was huge. And, like, you're just like, oh, Paul Allen's in town. Beer, anybody?
Yeah, I could use another one. Whiskey's. Pale ale, alright. So I'm trying the other one. So I can compare?
Yeah. Actually, the counties are colder.
Colder? Do they retain their coldness better? Because
yeah.
I think they're equally cold to begin with.
They're brewed to maintain coldness.
Maybe that's why there was DMSO in your moose set. Maybe there's some sort of experiment. Like,
yeah,
see if you can slow the rate of cooling.
I'd certainly be willing to sacrifice
something
the taste for coldness. So what makes a beer dark, though? It's just the roast, right? It's just the roast of the hops. So, like, well, people who know a lot of hangovers, yeah, they say, like, if you don't want a hangover, you want the purest alcohol possible.
Yeah.
With you want, like, fucking
clear, something clear.
Just vodka and
vodka.
It depends what you're going for, right? Like, maybe that's, like, you know, not good if you're going for, like, mass intake. But if you're going for, like, food replacement, like, you know, there's a lot more nutrients in the yeast.
Yeah, Guinness.
Sure, you know? Like,
Let's go on to the next one.
Yeah.
So that's my post on PLOS One, and I'm the number one fan of PLOS. Like
number
that's,
one.
Oh yeah, that's the place where I wish I could publish my next article.
Jan, I think published in PLOS just recently.
PLOS
awesome.
Genetics or something.
Yeah,
that's wicked. Like
yeah, that's
PLOS
awesome.
Is the shit, and they came out with this new journal called PLOS One. And they're just going even further. So you might recall a couple of months ago, Nature did this experiment in the open access publishing where the article you're submitting is public. So basically it's open for anybody to like criticize and post comments on. And like you, I guess it's like peer review, but times a thousand, where everybody on the net can review it. But the thing is, you need to give out your identity. Yeah, you can't be an anonymous coward and like say this paper sucks, and because it's your like competitor.
That's not a problem, though.
No, it's wicked.
That's
so you your identity is like combined with what you say, so that you know you have to take your words seriously. Like
you can't just be a prick because you feel like being a prick. Like you have to like actually have a reason. And if you're consistently piss poor at criticizing other people's work, like people will just start ignoring your comments.
Yeah.
And that's like awesome. That's like the best type of like.
The key word is accountability.
Yeah.
So you're accountable to whatever you say.
I think it's awesome. And on the Nature podcast, they keep on mentioning it. Like they keep on saying at the end, like, by the way, there's this open access trial going on. You guys should really, like, I hope it's getting enough feedback. Because, like, I personally went there and, like, checked it out, and none of the articles interested me, so I didn't say anything, you know, like,
yeah.
Of course, I'm not, like, you know, suitable enough to say anything to anybody, but still, like, I didn't, I feel bad, because, like, I would like to, like, contribute to, like, something like that, because I think it's awesome, but.
Yeah, there's surprisingly little feedback, but I hope
yeah.
KLS-1 will work, and, like, is this, like, the real open science, so you've got, like, open publishing, so everybody has access to your article. You've got open data because you like put it on the web right away, and like people can criticize it. So is that real open science? Like, hopefully that's the next step. Like, I love that idea.
That's an interesting question, though. Like, you know, if you could, you know, have unlimited like comments, like how many people in the world are actually like qualified to like criticize like your specific, very specific paper? You know,
well,
like,
you get the Wikipedia problem. Where anybody can like you know deface
that's,
your article.
That's great though. You get like a opinion that you make. The journal sends out to its reviewers that are in this tiny little field, but you get some guy who's just like, dude, I do this and that makes no sense. You know, from left field, some guy who just like, and I think that's like a huge strength.
Like, the real test is with that guy that like discovered PCR, with that guy that discovered the antibodies. Or like all the guys we talked about before, would they have been published? Would they have been moderated positively by other people?
Well, someone would have gone, oh my god, that applies directly to what I'm going to do. I'm going to try it myself, like right now, and then I'll comment on it. This is what we've talked about before, which is like publishing figure at a time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you put together a couple of Western blots, and you say, I did this. Well, like, what do you guys think about this? And then some guy, like, posts another Western blot, like, same thing. Yeah, I repeated this. This is crazy. And then, you know, like, that type of science would be fast.
No,
like, that's would get done.
Yeah, that's real open science.
Yeah.
Because when you get negative results, and then people know about it. Like, when,
exactly.
When you can, like, somebody else can replicate another cell line, another model, like, you know about it. And then, you know,
yeah,
people with different opinions, different, like, vision, different methods can, like,
we should
start
talking
about how fast you would drop things that, like, you know, you realize something's not working, somebody says it's not working because of this, and you just be like, okay, done. Like, you wouldn't waste, you'd save so much
time. And you'd never be scooped. Like, how much does it suck? How much does it suck when you're like.
That's the thing, is like, how do you deal with this in terms of, like, because, you know, the old fashioned way is, like, how many publications and all that kind of stuff. It's like,
how many
basically,
posts?
How do you regulate your career by this is the only, like, problem.
It's like, how many posts you get. You like it up to a certain point, you get your grant.
I think your criticism should be dug.
Yeah, moderate, man.
Yeah. I dig this criticism. I don't dig it. You know, user comments on Dig are like, yes, this is a useful like comment. No, this is, I mean, I don't know who actually goes through there and clicks on people's comments. Like, I haven't got that kind of fucking time on.
But for science.
But for science, if that's your job,
yeah.
Sitting there, if you're a PI. And the PIs I know, like, spend a lot of time, like, reading articles and, like, sitting on the internet anyways, like, they're going to do that kind of stuff. If they see Bob that they know from their field commenting on someone else's stuff, you know, like, they're going to dig it or not dig it.
The best thing is that if the finding applies to, like, let's say 10 people in the world, and there's no way you can get it published because there's not enough interest, you can still get your stuff out there.
Yeah.
And, like, you would do a search and you would find that information that you need that only applies to 10 people.
Yeah. You know, what do you do about who gets credit for that if you're gonna like?
You'd have to have an integrated system like right off the bat that just like automatically tracks every user in a good way, like a defined way.
Some
and, like,
large
keeps
ass
tracking
company.
The stats. You know,
we're gonna have to get Paul
Google.
Allen.
We need to contact Google.
Yeah, Google. It would be Google.
Yeah,
Google
if anybody does this, it's
Google could do a good job. But
Then it'd be all like
Google
privately funded.
Yeah, and not available in China.
Sorry, China, no science.
Next post is mine again, and it's the guy with the big beard slash mustache, Aubrey the Grey, you know, the engineer dude that thinks that, you know, mortality is, like, something that engineering can solve.
Do you guys think he's real?
The guy has got good intentions.
I think he's actually 350 years old.
Yeah.
He's already solved it.
Look at me, I'm Moses or something.
Yeah, I mean,
he gets people.
I don't really like his picture on the Babe Lab because he really creeps me out.
That's a scary one, too.
Yeah, it is a scary picture.
Oh, man.
So, anyways, like, the story is that he teamed up with the guys from PayPal, like, one of the co-founders of PayPal. It's going to match the funds to the Methuselah Prize.
Methuselah,
right. Whatever you say, I'm French.
It's the name of the longest living tree. So apparently, it's the longest living organism on Earth. Is Methuselah tree.
Isn't it like some kind of mythology too? I think we're gonna need somebody like we.
Yeah, they love that stuff up. It might be the name of a specific tree, but it might actually be the species of tree. That's
I think it's a mythological character that lived really long. We'll see.
But it might be the tree.
Whatever. So that was $3.6 million jackpot to whoever can get his mouse to live longer than 1,356 days. So the best.
That's a lot of money.
3.6 million, man. Like, that is worth trying it out in your kitchen.
Yeah.
Because just by luck, you might get a mouse that doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. Have a ton of animals and just see.
Like, so the minimum is 40 animals, and you need 20 treated, 20 controls. So you actually need,
That's tough.
Methuselah, Hebrew, man of the dart, or alternatively, when he dies, it shall be sent. Tiberian Hebrew is the oldest person whose age is mentioned in the Hebrew Bible. He reportedly reached the age of 969 years.
969. There is a tree that somebody cut down that was the longest living thing on Earth.
So they named him after...
They named this tree
the
after
Hebrew
the
dude.
Okay, but I was wrong, yes. It's
so why would they cut the tree?
And he didn't know. He went down, like, he was examining this specific species of tree. He knew it was a long-lived tree. But he fucking cut her down and looked at those rings, and I was like, oh my god. And they haven't found a longer living thing on Earth yet since.
Oh, check this out. So, modern science puts the natural limit on current human longevity well below 150 years. Creationists, meanwhile, accept the ages recorded in the Bible.
Well, 969 then?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I think Noah lived a few hundred years. And it produced several possible explanations.
Yeah, there are.
Such as, one reason is claimed that conditions before the flood caused much less ultraviolet light from the sun to
impact
the
Earth. Oh, that's great. Here we've got it, man. Just put your sunblock, you'll live off forever.
I've actually heard that someone say that in high school. I had an argument with somebody about this. And they said UV, and they also said they're more genetically pure. So they don't have a bunch of, you know, deleterious mutations that build up over time because they're way back near the beginning, right? So
they're like a stem cell population.
They're big.
Exactly.
Progenitors. Well, I was there, and I can tell you.
Was it 2,000 years ago?
I've been alive for 2,000 years, and I'm 10 just as well now as I did back then.
So this quote here about treated and controlled. Like, I think this Aubrey de Grey guy is the guy who he wants to live forever.
Yeah.
And he's not really satisfied if he has to be genetically predetermined to long live. He wants to take a pill every day.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know if that's $3.6 million right there. I think you already
have to
be
treated, right?
No, but what
even
if you start
your
body
genetically predisposed to really long beards and freaky looks, you still have to be able to survive for a really long
time. Just go after these markers, like lower the cholesterol level, lower the cortisol level, like,
yeah,
like, go with what you know, and like, maybe it'll work.
I mean,
the best thing so far has been calorie restriction, so we're just like feeding them less. It's gotta be better methods.
I'll starve them even more.
Yes, nothing.
It's really a race to find like the minimal possible, like, supportable mouse diet. Like, what amino acids can we give them to keep them going?
We're going to wrap this up.
Sweet.
This was the first podcast of babelab.blogspot.com.
BAYPALB.
Dotblogspot.com. I'm Rob Edge.
I'm Anonymous Coward.
I'm Bayman Power.
And that's that.
Like that yellow robot there, that's that Japanese robot. I don't think that'd be very good in the battlefield, you know.
But it must be really good in the bed.
Which is what those... Bro, one of the funny things about the robots now, like one of their big features is like automatically returns to its battery stand for recharging or whatever. So like, is that gonna be like the first like robot war? Is gonna be like all these robots are like returning to their batteries and like it'll be like someone who exploits that actually wins.
That was some good chicken.
That was good, yeah. I just realized I have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm like, oh, DNA, protein.